and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. The Speaker of the House says a vote may come tonight or in the morning on President Trump's massive budget bill. Trump has spent the last 2 days meeting with Republican holdouts to get them to vote yes on it. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Members of the House Freedom Caucus said that they did accept a proposal from the White House, not only around changes for Medicaid, but also in terms of some of the changes they're seeking in terms of rolling back some of these green energy tax subsidies under the Biden administration and the Inflation Reduction Act.
Christina Quintero is a Medicaid recipient who was on Capitol Hill to push against cuts to that program.
Our families are not waste. Our families are not committing fraud. We rely on those doctor's visits, on those therapists, on the psychologists to help us regulate anger issues that my child has.
A judge says the Trump administration did not follow a court order on deportations. At least 8 migrants were deported this week, but they're not saying where they've ended up. CBS's Camilo Montoyo Galvez.
Initially, lawyers said that this flight was headed to South Sudan, but the Department of Homeland Security has so far declined to confirm that that was the actual destination country, and it has also declined to provide a current specific location for that flight that took off from Texas yesterday, as well as any information as to the whereabouts of these migrants.
President Trump played a video for the president of South Africa that he claimed proved genocide is being committed against white people there.
I have other friends in South Africa, I have people that left, one in particular that says you can't go there. He said they want to take your land, and they kill you.
He said the video shows black South African politicians call for the persecution of white people. South African President Ramaphosa later in the day on the BBC.
There's just no genocide in South Africa.
CBS News has learned that FEMA has rescinded its strategic plan less than 2 weeks before hurricane season begins. The head of FEMA says instead, a new one will be developed sometime this summer. This comes as a new study finds that wind-related hurricane damage for those in southern coastal states could rise substantially. CBS's Dave Malkoff.
In Texas, for example, that could make hurricane wind speeds 14% higher by the 2050s, and that could not only affect those states along the Gulf Coast, but also inland, according to the simulation here.
The Archdiocese of New Orleans will pay about $180 million to victims of clergy sex abuse. The deal also includes what the church says are procedures to safeguard against future. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Brewers surrender to the Orioles.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, Milwaukee's Caleb Durbin tied it up in the ninth, but top of the 11th, the Orioles' Adley Rutschman drove the ball deep into left field on the Orioles TV network.
So he didn't get a great jump off of first base. Get up, ball.
Deep to left. Adley Rutschman toward the wall. Yeah. It's gone! An ice-breaking three-run shot. Adley Rutschman goes right on left, goes out to left.
The Brewers running out of arms at the end of the game. Trevor McGill, Tyler Alexander ended up losing 8-4 today at AmFam Field. The crew missing out on the sweep, but winning the series 2-1. The Orioles snapping an 8-game losing streak. Up next, the crew heads to Pittsburgh for a 4-game weekend series against the Pirates. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office kicks into high gear this weekend with two huge releases squaring off for your hard-earned money. Let's start with The Granddaddy, which is the final installment of the Mission Impossible franchise, at least for now. Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning continues the story from 2 years ago, where we left with a train hanging off a cliff. The film is pulling about an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes because some critics apparently don't know how to party. Not to be outdone, the live-action version of Lilo and Stitch also opens this weekend and is also anticipated anticipating massive returns at the gate. In the film, which is pulling a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, a fugitive alien helps a young Hawaiian girl heal her dysfunctional family. If you're looking for some good old-fashioned, cringeworthy adult comedy, check out the film Friendship, which goes into wider release this weekend. If you're in a small town, you might have to road trip for the laughs, but it might be worth it as it's pulling a 90% on RT. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A lingering shower to tonight, cloudy sky and alone the low 40s. Sunshine returns for Thursday and Friday, highs of 60 to 65. And we'll stay in the 60s through the weekend and into Memorial Day, a slight chance of rain each day. Currently 51 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, our second round of interviews with the candidates for state Democratic Party chair continues with Joe Zepecki, plus the real-life impact of cutting food assistance.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut deeper.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count.
Hey, Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Yes, for more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, we have our friend Beth Ann Hedman Dodds of White Earth Ojibwe and program manager for Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative, a nonprofit of All Nations Rise, and Jerry Goodwin, also a White Earth Ojibwe and 2025 graduate of the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative, cohort number 3. Welcome, and it's great to see you guys again. Great to see you again, Beth.
Wonderful to be here again, Robert. You know how much we love coming and talking to you and Haley and sharing the goodness that's happening in the White Earth Nation.
Right on, right on. Hey, you know, could you talk a little bit and let our listeners know a little bit about yourself before we get going? And we'll start with you, Beth.
Sure. I am a first generation descendant of the White Earth Ojibwe Nation in northwestern Minnesota. I grew up in the cities and moved full time here in 2020 during COVID to be near my family. I have a background that spans various facets of community service, helping people foster resilience and growth. I am a Reiki practitioner. I am a hands-on healing practitioner. That led me to really wanting to help people know who they are, and found myself always gravitating towards volunteering as a young mom, dragging my kids along and working in soup kitchens in the Twin Cities area. That led me to becoming a coordinator for Loaves and Fishes, and eventually becoming their volunteer coordinator for a very substantial cohort of 35 individuals that helped man the soup kitchens. that led me to become a director of an urban food shelf. And then my partner had terminal cancer back in and passed away back in 2016. And that led me to really take a look at myself a little bit deeper. And I realized I needed to move north. And so I saw myself coming back home, I will say, in 2020. And I'm really glad that I made that decision, because it brought me to this position, becoming the program manager of the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative. And I'm very grateful, very grateful.
Wow, excellent. Jerry, do you mind, Jerry Goodwin, do you mind giving us a little background of who you are?
Bajuhanin, Nigani, Maingani, Maingan, Indigenous, Mayangan, and Dudam, Gawababi, Ganika, and Dujaba, Manoman Inda. My name is Jerry Goodwin. I'm from White Earth Reservation. Both my parents are from White Earth. We moved around quite a bit when I was a little girl, from the cities, Duluth, and back here to the reservation. And spent my school days, most of them, up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I came back home in 2016 to take care of my dad, and now he has passed since 2018. I found being back home was what I needed. And I've worked in the cities. I worked with MoneyGram International, City Financial, Dayton Hudson Corporation. And coming to the reservation, I started working for Circle of Life Anishinaabe Home Care. Started out as an advocate. Love advocating for our people on the reservation, and I'm an office branch manager. And being back home and seeing, the life on the reservation is kind of heartbreaking. And that's has just been working with our clients here at Circle of Life. Has just I just want to be out there on foot and trying to help people. And that's what brought me to, I used to be the babysitter at IPLI. And then it's a commitment. And a couple of the girls have asked me about coming aboard. And I wasn't ready the second cohort. But the third one, I was definitely ready. And I'm glad that I joined the class, the family, and very beneficial, very I have a new extended family.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Beth-Ann, can you share what the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative, IPLI, is and how it aims to support our Native families in the White Earth Nation?
Yeah. The Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative is a program by All Nations Rise. We are the sponsoring agency, and it is a free 22-week program that integrates child development, leadership, democracy skills, and Ojibwe culture into a parent curriculum to empower the parent voice. And one of the main components of IPLI is the Individual Community Project, which I'm excited to hear Jerry tell you all about it.
We are excited too. I would love to know, Beth-Ann, how many cohorts have you done with IPLI so far?
Sure. We just graduated our third cohort on Sunday, which was very exciting. We had a lovely ceremony at Shooting Star Casino where we honored our new six graduates and our very first cohort of the Indigenous Children's Leadership Initiative. We graduated four children this year as well. So it was a small cohort, but they are mighty.
I'm taking over for Robert here, it looks like, moving on here. Why do you, in your experience, Beth-Ann, how does engaging young children in reading and singing influence their language skills and cultural pride later in life?
Well, you know, one thing that we are doing in the Children's Initiative is incorporating Indigibox, which, Haley, I know you know about Indigibox. I think Robert does, too.
We love Indigenous Box.
Yeah, we love Indigibox, too. And what Indigibox brings into the Children's Initiative is we are connecting the core teachings of the children's leadership curriculum to culture. So they are getting some hands-on and learning about maple syrup and wild rice and what it means to be a leader in a tribal community. Couple that with some ASL. They learn ASL right alongside the Ojibwe words. The singing and the language is still to come as we continue to build the program. But we're looking forward to this summer to really digging in and creating something more now that we've gotten our feet wet. These children learn right alongside their parents. They are learning a civics curriculum. They're learning what it's like to be a leader. They're learning to public speak. They're learning what it feels like to stand in front of a room and hold a microphone. We're really proud of what they've done.
Hey, let's talk more about this. Hey, it's Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great way for you to purchase your next vehicle. It's the Toyota Smart Path. You can shop at the dealership or on your couch. Shop smarter by saving time, and remember, they'll have the best prices and no surprises. You can browse the available vehicles, use the Smart Path payment estimator to customize your own payments, apply for financing, and then finalize your purchase. Smart Path is the smartest path to your new vehicle. Check it out online at rudyluthertoyota.com or stop by Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. For more information, please visit littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, right on. Hey, we're here with Beth Ann Hedman Dodds and Jerry Goodwin. And we were just talking a little bit, Beth Ann, about the Indigenous Box. Is there anything else? The Indigeni Box? I think adults should have those. And those would be cool for everybody. But I always get excited when you talk about it.
Yeah, we know adults need it too. We will be creating family boxes, though, so parents can learn right alongside their children, in addition to this being created for early childhood classrooms. You know, we're not only for our own people, but we want to bridge that gap with those that are not Native and the teachers who are teaching Native children, to have a curriculum that is already established, and all of the materials provided. It helps our teachers and it helps our parents, and they get to learn too.
Yeah, that is awesome. Jerry, can you tell us a little bit about the recent graduation ceremony? And this is the third cohort of IPLI, and exciting to hear your take on it. And then we'll talk a little bit about Ruth about it too.
Okay. Well, when I joined the class, it is, our first class, right away, it was very welcoming. Everybody shared their knowledge. It was a safe environment. There were a lot of tears at the beginning of the class. We were learning a lot about ourselves, when we were kids, and we had a lot of good conversations that stayed in the room. And again, we had many tears, happy ones, and it was just a safe environment. And like I said earlier, I've got a new family, and I know that we will stay connected through alumni groups, outside of alumni groups, you know, during the Powell season and the community. And it was just an awesome experience for me, and I'm glad that I joined, and I hope it continues for many, many years. And we have a lot of the cohort graduates on the Red Earth Reservation and other reservations surrounding us.
That's right on. So how, Beth, how is this different, or was it different, this graduation? Talk about that from your perspective.
You know, standing at the podium, I was host for the day for the graduation ceremonies, and standing at the podium and seeing our cohort 3 graduates, but also seeing cohort 1 and cohort 2 graduates in the audience who are cheering on these new graduates. Listening to cohort 1, we gave them an opportunity to speak, cohort 1 and cohort 2, and listening to the positive changes that they've made within themselves, within their villages, within the reservation as a whole. We have graduates who are going to Washington and speaking before Congress, lending their lived experience, Indigenous voices in Washington. You know, that's wonderful. I often hear, somebody would have told me I'd be on the National Mall today. I wouldn't have believed them. And they're doing that. We have graduates who are working for the American Public Human Services Administration. We have them sitting on the Head Start Advisory Council. We have them bringing presentations to the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition Conference. We have graduates who are saving lives in the tribal community through their Narcan training. One of our graduates, Judd Brown, was just honored by the tribe and the tribal police for the amount of lives that he has saved. You know, when you look at 27 individuals that have graduated with us so far across the 3 cohorts, the ripple effects are grand. And we believe every tribal community should have a program like the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative.
That's great. Jerry, as a recent graduate, how has the program impacted your own leadership journey? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think it's made me more confident, more stronger. I feel like I've been an advocate for a long time. I've been on the reservation meeting, been in the homes and meeting the clients. And it has given me the drive that I always wanted to do and the opportunity. And with the class, I learned a lot of tools and met a lot of people. And just to go and learn, about what what I want to do with my project and go to the other classes and around the community. And just to learn more about that and get out there and work hard. There's my towards my goal.
That's beautiful. So how is IPLI is now expanding onto other tribal communities through partnerships with the Minnesota Department of Children, Youth, and Families? What does this expansion mean for the future of Indigenous parent leadership, Beth?
You know, it's going to create a larger ripple effect across the state of Minnesota. So we are partnering with the Minnesota Department of Children, Youth, and Families. We are seeking proposals from qualified tribal nations and American Indian organizations. I believe there is room for four of those tribal nations or organizations to become a grantee of the program. That means so much for our state. That means so much for our Native parents across the state. We are so excited to be able to share our journey and to guide them and help them create this in their own community.
Wow, that's beautiful. And how will the new federally or state-funded expansion help reach more families to ensure this program's sustainability? And I guess I'll ask you that, Ruth. I mean, Beth.
So the state this is a three-year grant, and the state will be starting with a 100% funding. I believe it is up to $75,000 per year. As each year of the grant progresses, that funding becomes less, with the understanding that the tribal nation or organization will make up the cost. So this is really grassroots, boots on the ground, looking for partnerships, ensuring that it can be sustained within the community. But this is where, we talk about it takes a village, right? So this is where a tribal nation or a tribal organization can partner with others to bring it to their community. Each community establishes a civic design team. In the White Earth community, we call it an advisory council. Ours is made up of alumni, but it's designed to bring people in from all walks of life within the community to work together to guide the initiative forward. So you are working with lots of different people to ensure that our children are being taken care of. And, Robert, how do we help the kids?
Mm-hmm.
How do we help the kids? We help the parents through the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative.
Yeah, that's really awesome. For the families that are interested in participating in future cohorts or community projects, what steps should they take to get involved? And Jerry, maybe you can help with that, seeing that you were just in the last cohort. You can kind of tell people how to get involved.
Well, they can get involved on Facebook. We do have a Facebook page, and we do have links. Now when the class starts up again this fall, we will have a link for them to apply. And we do have available facilitators that we are looking for, if anyone is interested in facilitating our class this fall. We have them open too.
Yeah, wow. Specific in the White Earth Nation. And if people want to learn more about the RFP, the request for proposals that are open through the state of Minnesota, they can contact me, Beth at allnationsrise.com. You can also reach me at Beth at Indigenous Vision.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Despite risks that President Trump's multi-trillion dollar tax breaks package could stall due to conservative holdouts, House Speaker Mike Johnson seems confident that they will be able to stick to their schedule and get it passed.
I think we're in a very good place. I think that all of our colleagues here will really like this final product, and I think we're going to move forward.
Following reports of deportations to South Sudan, the Trump administration says it's deported 8 migrants convicted of crimes here. Department of Homeland Security spokesperson Trisha McLaughlin.
These are the only 8 on the flight. Because of safety and operational security, we cannot tell you what the final destination for these individuals will be.
CBS's Olivia Rinaldi on Trump claiming genocide is happening against white South Africans.
This is an issue that has been seized upon by people who are now members of our government, like Elon Musk, purporting that there is a genocide happening to these white South African farmers who are getting their land stolen and are subjugated to violence.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers surrender to the Orioles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, Milwaukee's Caleb Durbin tied it up in the ninth, but top of the 11th, the Orioles' Adley Rutschman drove the ball deep into left field on the Orioles TV network.
He didn't get a great jump off of first base. Get up, ball.
Deep to left. Adley Rutschman toward the wall. Yeah. It's gone! An ice-breaking 3-run shot. Adley Rutschman goes right on left, goes out to left, and the Orioles have opened it up here in the 11th.
His 14th RBI, and the Orioles have busted it wide open here in the top of the 11th.
The Brewers running out of arms at the end of the game. Trevor McGill, Tyler Alexander ended up losing 8-4 today at AmFam Field. The crew missing out on the sweep, but winning the series 2-1. The Orioles snapping an 8-game losing streak. Up next, the crew heads to Pittsburgh for a 4-game weekend series against the Pirates. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martin Scorsese fans will have a chance to see him on the other side of the camera in a new documentary on Apple TV. Deadline reports that the famous director will be the subject of a docuseries in 5 parts from director Rebecca Miller. Miller is the daughter of playwright Arthur Miller and married to 3-time Oscar winner Daniel Day-Lewis. In the series, Scorsese will talk about his real-life experiences and how they contributed to his masterful filmmaking. James Cameron used the old Bugs Bunny reverse psychology trick in getting Leonardo DiCaprio to sign on to Titanic, according to Deadline. When DiCaprio was considered for the part of Jack Dawson, he wanted Cameron to make the character more conflicted, similar to other roles he had played so well to that point in his career. Cameron didn't want to do that, so he presented Jack Dawson's wholesomeness as yet another challenge to DiCaprio, asking him if he thought he could pull off an unflawed character. DiCaprio took the bait, and history was made. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A lingering shower to tonight, cloudy sky and a low in the low 40s. Sunshine returns for Thursday and Friday, highs of 60 to 65. And we'll stay in the 60s through the weekend and into Memorial Day, a slight chance of rain each day. Currently 49 degrees.
In this month's edition of Masters of Mystery, a forensic psychologist who turns real-life experiences investigating crimes into chilling novels, and a grandmother who writes about gangsters, will join host Rob Young. Tune in to WFHR Sunday at 9 p.m. as true crime writer Frank Weber and gangster writer Betty Brandt Pasek talk about their experiences and perhaps divulge the secrets behind their devious plots.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/actnow.
brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, we'll be joined by Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We'll discuss the impacts of the draconian cuts to veteran health care from the big, brutal bill.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Then we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We have a couple guests here, and we are going to be talking about the Indian Health Board a little bit here and the Community Health Supervisor of Hennepin County. And I see Samantha, you are on. Welcome, Samantha Lucas Pipcorn. Could you please introduce yourself in a good way? Ho-wa.
Hi, hello, good afternoon. I am delighted to be here with you all today. I'm Samantha Lucas Pipcorn, and I work at the Hennepin County Public Health Department, and I'm excited to be able to share a little bit about the initiative that's supporting women's heart health in Hennepin County.
Wow, awesome. And, you know, this is, we've been talking about, Haley and I, the month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we just passed Stress Awareness Month. How does all this tie into with heart health, since that's what our topic will be tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. Heart health is integral to people's ability to live. And I'm so excited that Indy is able to join us, and Indy will be sharing a bit about heart health and how she supports women's heart health and at the clinic. And we know that Black, African American, and Indigenous women face higher rates of uncontrolled diabetes and hypertension. And that those conditions can put people at a much higher risk of things like a cardiac event, like a heart attack. So I'm excited to talk to you all about this important issue.
Right on. Hey, Indy, welcome. Could you introduce yourself in a good way?
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name is Indy Prairie Chicken. I'm enrolled in White Earth Band of Ojibwe, and I currently work at the Indian Health Board as the assistant clinical director there. And so I'm excited to be here tonight.
Right on. So are we. Hey, can you tell us how long you've been with the Indian Health Board here in Minneapolis?
Yeah, so I started there back in 2016. So about 9.5 years now. So.
That was quick math, Indy. Good one. Ho-wa. Hey, do Native people, or men or women, suffer more from heart issues than others?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So heart health is, you know, with Native communities especially, is an important topic to discuss. You know, oftentimes, you know, heart disease, which is a condition that is affecting Natives, you know, our cardiovascular system, which includes like our hearts and blood vessels. We often experience higher rates of cardiovascular disease. And so it's definitely something important that we are talking about to raise awareness.
Yeah, really it is. You know, women often prioritize their families and communities over themselves, but heart problems can affect them too. And I think we don't talk about that enough. What are the signs and symptoms that women should be on the lookout for when they when things are going on with them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So oftentimes women experience different symptoms than when we think of heart attacks, especially we think of like kind of the Hollywood heart attack where somebody's experiencing, you know, the chest clutching pain. But most oftentimes women are going to experience symptoms that are a little bit less obvious. And so sometimes that can be like fatigue, where they're feeling extremely tired, nausea, dizziness, it can be shortness of breath, You know, women can experience pain in their back, jaw, neck. And this isn't an inclusive list, but these are definitely things to keep an eye out for. Even, you know, feeling like extreme anxiety or dizziness. And oftentimes these symptoms are can kind of come up, you know, in our, within our, you know, our days, like if we're, you know, we're often taking care of others. So we can mistake them for stress. And so I always tell people to trust their bodies, you know, when in doubt, definitely reach out to your healthcare team.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sam, I'm going to come back to you. Hennepin County started a campaign to build awareness among Indigenous women about health. What is the campaign all about, and how did you come about where we can people can go and get more information about resources and care availability? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Hennepin County Board of Commissioners supported a women's heart health initiative starting in 2024, extending to 2025 to support women's heart health. It includes a media campaign that was created by women. Indy is one of them who was a part of creating the messaging, and then women were invited to be a part of the media campaign too. And the goal is for women to take care of their health so they can be there for themselves and their family and their community, so they can still be here with us. The other aspects of the campaign also, of the initiative include direct funding to community organizations and clinics so that there can be an increase in screenings and just in general outreach to get people connected to care. We have a website that's hennepin.us/heartbeats that has information about the campaign, and you'll see those lovely images. You may have also seen those billboards and bus wraps that have ads. It's called Your Heartbeats for Generations. And it's all because the women who were a part of shaping the campaign, they are the ones that came up with it with our someone we worked with, a local design firm called Blackbird Revolt. So it's because of Indy and a handful of other women who helped shape it all.
Wow, that's really exciting. Indy, I have a question for you that I already know the answer, but I'd like to hear you talk a little bit about it. And that's how important, where people like women see, women, Native women see other Native women reaching out and talking about these issues. Talk a little bit about how important it is for us to see each other in these places.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, it's important for, you know, us as like Native women, when we're going to seek care within different facilities, that you see, you know, people that look like us. And so I think part of the reason why I enjoy being at the Indian Health Board is to make, you know, our, you know, our community feel comfortable, because they see, you know, we have Native nurses there, really proud of that. But also I think it's important that we respect, you know, the culture. And so, you know, kind of finding a balance between Western medicine, which is so helpful and so beneficial, and, you know, our culture has like protective factors. And so research studies, there's starting to be more research studies and literature that say, you know, participating, you know, in culture and kind of being connected to your communities have benefits to our health. And so, you know, I like to think of the Indian Health Board as a place where we can offer that, you know, emotional, spiritual, and relational connections to our community.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then, you know, how can that be a factor in getting good care?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I think if we, you know, coming to a place where you, it can understand your traditional beliefs and kind of hold space for those values, that definitely translates into patient care. And so especially just thinking about the Indian Health Board, we offer traditional medicines. So if, you know, patients come in and they, you know, they want sage or sweetgrass or cedar, like tobacco, you know, we can give those out to patients. And for me, it feels so powerful that, you know, that's something that we can, you know, share and participate in our, you know, patients who are coming to the Indian Health Board.
Yeah, that is important, and it's very culturally effective too. And I wear my medicine all the time, and totally understand what you're saying, Indy. Samantha, how does this feel to partner with such a and it sounds like other really strong Native women? I'm just so really impressed with Indy, and I'm sure through this process you've had that opportunity too.
Yeah, this is a unique opportunity that we were able to offer to community organizations to join this Women's Heart Health Initiative. And for some clinics or community organizations, they're doing things like walking groups. But then there are also groups that are doing things like traditional activities, traditional gathering, traditional preparations of food. And, you know, those are things that are being funded by the county right now. And that's kind of a unique opportunity that we definitely see and know that there is a connection between cultural activities, cultural traditional foods and medicines, and how that can support people's overall wellness and health. And it's all connected, heart health and social connection, mental health, it all makes a difference in people being able to be healthy and to stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly. So let's give that website again. It's hennepin.us/heart-beats for more information. And what will people be able to find on there, Samantha, when they do click on there?
Well, we have opportunities for people to see not only the campaign materials, but also we have places where people can connect to some of the clinical partners. So if somebody is interested in getting connected to care, we've partnered with some federally qualified health centers that can offer really great care at an affordable price for folks. And there's also some like community event kind of things that we also will put in on that website as well.
Awesome. Hey, can you guys stay with us for a couple more questions?
Love to. Thank you.
All right. Excellent. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back with Indy Prairie Chicken and Samantha Lucas Pipcorn. And we're going to talk more women health and what's more important than women health and women health. We'll be right back.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you 2 go-card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center, an art space that's more than the Spoon and Cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage.
Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
At Metro State University, students learn from expert instructors in high-demand degree programs like healthcare, technology, cybersecurity, teaching, and business. As one of Minnesota's most diverse universities, Metro State is dedicated to providing a welcoming environment for all students. Explore 60-plus bachelor's programs at their May 29th open house in St. Paul. Learn about how free tuition is possible for eligible students through the North Star Promise Scholarship. Visit metrostate.edu/openhouse. Know your power. Metro State University.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No! Good one, Haley. Ho-wa. Hey, we are here with Indy Prairie Chicken. She works at the Indian Health Board as assistant clinical director. And we're also here with Samantha Lucas Pipcorn, community health supervisor with Hennepin County. And this has been a fun conversation. Samantha, I want to start with you. What would you like people in the Native community to know about this that we haven't talked about?
Well, I would say like our partners that we are currently working with that we're funding have many opportunities for community to connect with activities. And if they check out our website, they'll be able to get connected in that way. And yeah.
So I'd like to talk to Indy about this, too. And this came up by our great producer, Haley. And that's she's curious. Haley, maybe you can ask the question.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were talking a little bit earlier in the last segment just about how much a diet and changing like your, you know, like your foods and maybe incorporating a more native traditional diet could help, you know, prolong your life and keep your heart healthy. I was just wondering maybe Indy, if you want to jump in here, what kind of foods would be best to incorporate, you know, into your diet starting out small, maybe that are known to keep your heart healthy?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, definitely incorporating like traditional foods and whole foods into your diet, you know, things that we've, you know, that we, our ancestors, you know, our grandparents, like us, like, you know, things that we grew up eating, like wild rice, for instance, is has lots of nutritional benefits. You know, fish, which is nice, a nice lean protein, berries. And I especially think of like strawberries. They're often lower on the glycemic index. So, and they also have like antioxidants, but, you know, essentially berries and squash. And so it's like, these are foods, you know, that are, you know, part of our culture. And so if we can incorporate these into our diets, you know, I think it can be helpful. And it's about creating balance. And it's the small things, like you said, so it doesn't have to be, you know, have to totally transform your diet, but it's, you know, kind of incorporating some of our traditional foods, I think can contribute to, improved health and well-being.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I have oatmeal every day. I know that's not our traditional stuff, but I know what you're saying. Just these little things, Indy, that really can change the whole outcome of your health and how you feel, you know, walking and things like that too, Indy.
Yeah, I think you touched upon a really important topic. Physical activity is a key component, I think, to, you know, not only heart health, but our overall health. And especially for natives, when I think about heart disease, we're often at a greater risk because we're at higher risk for, you know, diabetes. You know, obesity puts us at risk, physical inactivity. So if we can incorporate, you know, physical activity in our day, even walking 10 minutes after your largest meal of the day has been proven to be beneficial to our overall health. And so it's not always about making these huge changes, but incorporating small things into our daily activities that will help improve our overall well-being. And oatmeal is great. It's a great food. So it's about creating balance too. And so whatever we can do to kind of restore that, I think will help just help us live healthier lives.
Right on. Inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yard by yard, it's hard. So yeah, that's great advice. A little bit at a time, and move forward on that in a good way. What great advice. Samantha, this must be great working with these young warriors, these women that are really looking out for our community.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's just been a real, just really delighted to be able to get to know people and just to, in a small way, support the great work that they're already doing. So many clinics are doing so many wonderful things to support the health of people. And like there are two, just give a little example of a couple of projects. There are two clinics that are currently funded through the Women's Heart Health Initiative, and they have identified food as a way to support people in their wellness. And so they've identified high-risk women, meaning, you know, maybe it's a woman who's kind of got high blood pressure, maybe it's not super controlled well, maybe she's got diabetes, maybe that's not super controlled. Through their Food RX programs, their Veggie RX programs, they're sending these patients home with food, with bundles of fresh produce, sometimes delivered right to their door, or it can be just that they're picked up at the clinic. But there's just lots of unique projects and like things that clinics and the other community organizations have been able to take on. And it's just been a real pleasure to get to support them and all of this great work that they're doing. They're already doing great work. We're just adding to what's possible, expanding it a bit through this.
Yeah, great, great, Samantha. Indy, we're going to be wrapping up here in a second. What can you tell our relatives out there, our women relatives, what they can do? And don't be afraid to come in, and if you're not feeling well, but also preventive visits to the doctor in the clinic.
Yeah, so one of my recommendations are to obviously like come in when you don't feel well, but one of the best times to come in is when you are feeling well. So if I can encourage people to schedule a preventative visit, their annual physicals, those are good times to talk to your provider about any concerns that you have, any questions. So we welcome everybody to schedule their annual physicals and preventative care.
Yeah, that's great. And that people need to be reminded, and don't be afraid, because a lot of things can be happening. And if you catch it early, it's a good thing, and don't be afraid to go out there. Cool. Well, hey, Samantha, I want to give you the last word here before this is just a great partnership, and we appreciate you coming on and Indy coming on. We're going to give you the last word here.
Okay. Well, I'll just say that Hennepin County is deeply invested in supporting the health of Black and Indigenous women, and we're supporting the expansion of prevention activities and of screenings, supporting additional care coordination to not only ensure that people are living longer, but also healthier lives. And if you see the billboards out around town, you'll know where the origin of those. And we're just delighted to be able to work with community to in this way to support heart health for women.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Hennepin County. Really, seriously, that's a great partnership and a great help for all of us in a good way. I really appreciate both you being on, and have a great.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Doctors in Recital, who will sing in the studio. Then Milwaukee-based director, producer, and UW-Milwaukee professor Tate Bunker joins the show. It will feel like a Friday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But did you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or take it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. In the Oval Office while hosting South Africa's president, President Trump pushed a debunked conspiracy theory that genocide is being committed against white South Africans. Our Deborah Pata is in Johannesburg.
There are also allegations that white farmers are the victims of land expropriation without compensation. But in the 31 years since apartheid ended, there has not been a single case.
The president says House Republicans are close to agreement on a budget bill critical to his agenda. But, says CBS's Erica Brown,
Speaker Mike Johnson has pushed for a full House vote on a bill before the Memorial Day break. But the Republican holdouts say they think more time is needed to secure a deal.
CBS's Katie Weiss says 5 of 10 inmates who escaped a New Orleans jail have been captured.
19-year-old Corey Boyd was recaptured Tuesday night. 21-year-old Gary Price was nabbed a day earlier and later flown to a state prison.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Hi, this is Beth.